John chapter 18, verse 38 is where we'll begin. John chapter 18, verse 38. It is a truthful thing to say that men have trouble finding the truth, as Pilate did. After all the truth that Pilate heard, after he'd heard of the Christ and heard of many of the things that Christ said, even after he knew about the miracles that Christ did, this is what he said, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." What is truth? We must come to the conclusion, though, if we're Bible believers, that everything God says is truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17, as Jesus is praying his great high priestly prayer, he says these words of affirmation. He says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." If you want to know where truth comes from, it comes from no source but from God. Everything he says, has said, will say, is truth by definition, because God is the one that said it. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, the same truth is mentioned in just a little bit different way, in a negative way. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. It is impossible for God to lie. Knowing this, it's not surprising to find that God hates a lying tongue. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 is a truth coming forth from the same source through the wisest man in the Old Testament, one by the name of Solomon. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22 ought to be on all of our minds. If it's not on your memory card list, it ought to be. In Proverbs 12 and verse 22 we read, "Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight." It's an abomination not to tell the truth. It's an abomination to lie. Now, we may say that we don't understand what an abomination is, but I think we all do. If you try to give me asparagus on my plate, you're going to find a certain look on my face by which you will know that asparagus is an abomination. If you were to take some 2-year-old's ice cream and you were to pour something green on it, whether it be wheatgrass or something else, just anything, you're going to get one of those yuck faces. It's an abomination, something that changed the taste of their favorite treat. My mother has a thing about Coca-Cola. You should have seen her face the first time New Coke came out. Do you remember that back in the 80s? New Coke, what was wrong with the old one? Even when they put Coke Classic back on the can, it still doesn't taste right. She wanted the real thing, and everything else is an abomination. It just wasn't right. It just wasn't what you wanted. And it's the same for God. When we sin, it's an abomination to him. When we don't tell the truth, it's an abomination to him. Why? Because everything he says is truth. That is his character. If you want to know what's an abomination to someone, find out what their character is and act in some way that's totally opposite to you. They will hold up their nose. They will try to get away from you. They will turn away from you because of those actions that you did that's totally opposite to your character. So it is, we learn that a lying tongue is an abomination to God. It's opposed to truth. We should shun lying, no matter its apparent advantage. I want to note, though, what lying is not, because many people have the idea that you just have to be this open door to everyone. And the Bible doesn't teach that. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 2, the Lord God Himself sends Samuel to go and anoint David. And Samuel says, well, if Saul finds out about it, he'll kill me. And so the Lord Himself tells Samuel, well, the story is that you're going there to sacrifice, and that's what you'll say if that's what comes up. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 2. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to the sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Now many people today would say, no, that God told Samuel to lie. That's not true. He told Samuel to say something else, which he actually did. Now, we say, well, if my husband or my wife did that to me, I would call that a lie. And you probably would. And you probably could. Now, let me amend it to say, if someone has a right to know that business, you ought to tell them that business. And it's a lie if you withhold those things. But if they don't have the right to know, you don't have to open yourself up to whoever asks. If you were to ask me about my deepest thoughts, I'm going to hold you off, probably until I know you a lot better. And it won't be a lie if I don't tell you. It'll only be a lie if I don't tell you the truth. What lying is not, concealment is not lying. Withholding information is not lying. Having two purposes and only revealing one is not lying. Why shouldn't we lie, though, if it's to our advantage? Because many people have the idea, I can get better in this world, I can do better, I can make more money, I can live more comfortably if I lie. Why not? Because lying identifies the liar with his father. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus makes it plain that Satan is the very opposite of that which is true and right, the very opposite of truth. John 8, verse 44, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. 1 John 3, verse 8, he that doeth sin is of the devil. Doeth. He that doeth sin. Present tense, that word doeth. Notice the ETH ending in your King James Bible. That's one of the reasons why the King James Version has a little bit of an advantage over others. It may not in other ways, but in this way it does. It shows you the continuous action in a verb. That when you when it says doeth, it means to keep on doing. If you keep on doing your sin, doing that sin, you're of the devil. The one that continues in sin is of the devil. There are sons of the devil in the kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. Matthew chapter 13, verse 38. I think we all have this idea. Many, many do, that the church is a perfect place, and only the perfect are here. But no, because of God's standard, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, everything is to be established, there are often those that have not shown themselves to the point that two or three know about their problems or their sins. And so there are people here that have that kind of problem. The field is the world, Matthew 13, verse 38. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. We make a mistake sometimes of thinking because our brethren can't see that God can't see. God takes care of those things in the end. There are sons of the devil in the kingdom. Eternal fire is prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25, verse 41, and for his sons, Matthew 13, verses 38 through 43. Lying identifies the liar with his father. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, is the next point. Proverbs 12, 22 is the reference for that. It simply says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 17. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. We have a couple of places to go there. Proverbs 6 and verse 17. Once again, that wisdom of the ages from the pen of Solomon. Proverbs 6, verse 17. Starting at verse 16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Notice that word, hate. Doesn't say he doesn't prefer this. He doesn't say that I would rather you do something else. No, these six things the Lord hates. Imagine those words coming from a parent of yours. A parent that normally likes the things that you do, delights in your life, looks at you and smiles. But this thing I hate. Feel the weight of that on you. And that's the weight you ought to have when God says something that he hates it. That we are his creation. He delights in us. But there are things that we do that he hates. The things that you hate are the things that you're totally against. The things that mar you. The things that cause you to come up before God, and he will turn away his face from you if you don't stop doing that thing. What are these things that he hates? A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Now many of these we can say and shout amen. Those that bear false witness, we hate those kind of people. People who would stand up in court and say, this man is guilty of this particular crime, when it's not true. We would say that person is worthy of death. Notice some of these other things. Those that shed innocent blood. That person is worthy of death. But God says, I hate a lying tongue. You know, many of us make excuses for lying. We look to our friend and we want to surprise them, and we have to tell so many lies in order to have it be a surprise party. We have to tell little white lies. God doesn't look at it that way. Forget the surprise party. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. We want to lie to people when they ask us, does this shirt make me look too fat? We want to lie to people. Well, don't lie. Don't hurt anybody's feelings on purpose. But tell the truth. Because it's an eternal thing we're talking about. Not something that only has a moment's effect and it's gone. No, it affects your soul eternally. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Remember that little child. You have ice cream on the table, and it's smiling, and it's shoving it into its face as fast as he can. You take it away and put green beans in front of it. No, it's not going to work, is it? You have that picture in your mind, and you know it's not going to be satisfactory. In fact, depending on the age of the child, there will be some things thrown around, won't they? Abomination. We get the idea from simple things. Ananias became an abomination with his lie. Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 leads us to a man who was a member of the church in Jerusalem who decided to lie to God. We get the idea of God's hatred of lying from what happened to this man. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Why is that in there? Why is that in there for us 2,000 years later? It's that last sentence. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. That we ought to respect God to the point when it comes to lying, we say, no, God hates that. I'm not doing that. That it's an abomination to him. And we ought to leave it behind. We're Christians now. We're called to live differently. Ananias became an abomination with his lie. We put things that are abominable to us far away. And guess what? So does God. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. I guess we could say this is the final word on the matter of lying. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice all these bad things. The abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and in with those is all liars. It's the truth. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. He puts things that are abominable far away from him. Let it not be us. Let it not be you. Let it not be me. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Also needing to be pointed out in Proverbs 12 and verse 22 is that second phrase. They that deal truly are his delight. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20 expands on that phrase. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. Excuse me, Proverbs 10 and verse 20. Jen, I need to have those glasses checked. Proverbs 10 and verse 20. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. You go through mom's flatware, and she'll point out to these, that's the good stuff. You know what the good stuff is? The good stuff goes to my sisters, by the way. The good stuff, the silver, the stuff that'll polish up to the high shine. The good stuff. That's what he's saying. The tongue of the just is choice silver. It's weighty in the hand. It can be traded in on something of value. It can be spent for something that you need. It is choice silver. It can be made into things that are lovely. The speaker of truth shall dwell in the holy hill. Psalm 15, verse 1. Psalm 15, verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. Now what is David talking about? A dwelling in the tabernacle. In David's time, those that dwelled in the tabernacle were all priests. And they didn't live there. They simply served there. What was he talking about then? Was he looking forward to what the tabernacle was a picture of? To what the kingdom of Israel was the type of, the antitype, which is the church, and ultimately heaven itself? Who shall dwell in the holy hill? That place of safety. What was a hill back in those days? That's where you built your cities. That's where you built your towns. You didn't build it where you were vulnerable, out in some valley. You went on top of a mountain where you could look out and see the fields of fire, where you could see the enemy coming. And so the holy hill was that place provided by God, a place of safety, a place of blessing. Who will dwell there? Once again, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. They that deal truly are his delight. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness. Proverbs 12, verse 17, if you will. Proverbs 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Everything has its opposites in the Proverbs. Quite often that's a way of expressing in Jewish poetry, that you tell the truth and then tell the opposite to give its full impact. The full impact of those that tell the truth is only felt when matched with those that are deceitful. I don't know if you've ever known someone, perhaps even a member of your family or someone close in your circle of friends, that simply could not tell the truth. That they would tell a lie when the truth would do them better. I've known someone like that, someone very close. Would tell a lie just as convincing as you could possibly imagine. I don't think any actor could do better. But when you learn the truth, when you learn that it was all a lie, everything they believed was really nothing, it's disgusting. It's odious. In the final way of looking at it, it is, as the Lord said, an abomination. You want to feel clean of it. And so that person, you start distancing yourself to where at some point they're just a distant memory. And you're more comfortable because of it. That's the way God does with those that aren't truthful. We do not want to be those that finally dwell in the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but the holy hill is much preferable. That heavenly home where we abide with God and see Jesus as he is. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord. There are commands that are given in the Bible. Leviticus 19 and verse 11, ye shall not lie one to another. Colossians 3, verse 9, lie not one to another. Ephesians 4, verse 25, putting away all falsehood, speak ye truth. 1 Peter 2, verse 1, putting away all guile. What do you do about it if you found yourself in a lie? There is restoration in the Bible. Aren't you glad? But the Bible is a guide to making things right, not only to living the righteous life, but when you find yourself on the off the path and all tarnished and dirty, how to get yourself clean again. Lying is defined as sin, Leviticus 6 and verse 3. And repentance is what happens when you find yourself in sin. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Acts chapter 8, verse 22, and Luke chapter 13, and verse 3. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, what do you have to do if you're found in a lie? Well, you can't steal a car, repent, and keep the car. No, what you have to do is tell the truth. Even though it hurts you to do it. Did your lie take someone's reputation or freedom or possessions? You must remove the consequences, if at all possible. If it's possible to do it, you must tell the truth to as many as knew about the lie. Did your lie lead someone away from the straight and narrow way? To the best of your ability, you must remove those eternal consequences. You must speak, preach the truth. I know of one particular individual, I can't call him by name, but I know of a situation where he had become convicted that his atheism was wrong, and that he went from place to place, that he had preached before, and went and spoke the truth. I applaud that in that man. I applaud that in anyone who will go to the lengths of telling the truth where they had done some wrong and worked error. And so must we. You know, you may not remember who you lied to, and I understand that. And I think the Lord understands too. But I think that's covered by living your life in a truthful way in the future. But if you remember, and it comes to your mind that you lied to an individual, it's time to tell the truth. If you remember that you lied on an application, or if you lied on a test, or if you lied on any of a thousand other things, go make it right. Why to that extent? Because eternity is long. Because your shame will only be a short blip in your life. And I know it will be painful. I know it will be sharp. But eternity is long. There may be someone here this very hour that needs to be baptized for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of sins. And one of those sins may be lying in your life. But it's only available to those who repent of sin, who change their minds with regard to those things. If you're willing to confess Christ before men, having done that, we can baptize you for the remission, the removal, the forgiveness of your sins. And you can leave this place today clean, in God's kingdom, no longer an abomination to Him. Perhaps it's the fact that you are a Christian and you have committed the sin of lying or some other thing. And you need that removed from your life so that you're not no longer an abomination to God. As we said before, repent therefore of this thy wickedness. And pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. This is what a man by the name of Simon was told by the Apostle Peter. A man who had become a Christian and yet had fallen from the good way. He was told to repent and pray to God. And that's what we are to do today. If it's a private matter, make it privately between you and your God. But if it's a public matter, that is, you've lied to one other individual, you need to tell them of your repentance. If it's a matter that everybody knows about, you need to let it be known to everyone that you have repented. That we are to confess one to another, that we may be healed. If we can assist you in your obedience this morning, why don't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.